Welcome to the Tea Huddle with Marissa and Kelly,
your only source for gridiron gossip.
If you're interested in the personal lives of celebrities,
or if you're interested in the NFL in general,
this is the right podcast for you. It has all of those things and so much more. Just so you all know, the Tea Huddle, like all the other NFL teams out there, needs a bye week every once in a while too.
But we recorded this episode in advance so you can all get your fix.
And because we don't know what happened on or off the field in week 13, we are treating you all to our new throwback segment, Tea from the Past.
This week, we're going to cover the legendary Lawrence Taylor from the wild era of the NFL in the 80s. This guy is probably the best defensive player to ever play the sport and still was more well known for his antics off the field.
I, full disclosure, have never heard of Lawrence Taylor. If you had said, what was this man known for? I wouldn't have guessed a football player. It's all new to me, but I'm excited to get into it because what I have researched so far is wild. So this is going to be good.
It's wild. Let's dive into it. Yeah, Lawrence Taylor, just some background for you, Marissa, since you don't know much about him. He was a linebacker for the Giants in the 80s. So if you ever meet a Giants fan, they mention LT, like, Lawrence Taylor, and you'll have a new best friend. And some say he's the greatest of all time. He definitely is the greatest player to ever play the game on illegal substances and still remain a great player throughout his whole career.
Yeah, wow.
So let's back up way back when. LT, he was drafted in the second overall pick, and on his draft day he drank 41 beers and doesn't remember a single thing.
He's so starting off strong.
We're starting. Yeah.
All right, he's letting us and the league know what they're in for on draft day. He's not hiding anything.
Yeah, no one cared because he was so good that he
and it was
could,
the 80s.
It's the 80s. There's no rules back then.
Definitely.
He was supposedly pretty clean in college, but entered the NFL, you know, you get that fame going and you try to experiment with certain drugs, and next thing you know, you're having a all-time career.
Plus, but New York in the 80s is like,
it's true, it's everywhere,
it's a vibe.
So he would do cocaine and he would drink before the games at halftime. He would drink a few beers, eventually led to doing crack, got addicted to that. And he remained a beast on the field. Everyone was afraid of him. He would take out any quarterback that was in his way.
You know what I don't want to do after a few beers? Run really fast and like try to be coordinated, but can't stop him.
Yeah, he's just going after everyone in sight. You know, it's good for, I guess, channeling that inner like rage to tackle the other team. I would be terrified of him also.
Definitely.
And, you know, the NFL, even in the 80s, like, they had drug tests because you know, it was an organization. But he would use his teammates' urine to avoid failing his drug tests.
Clever man. That was before they made you pee with the door open.
Yeah, before they're watching your every move. Another tactic he had to intimidate the other team is the night before the game, he would send sex workers to his opponent's hotel rooms.
Stop.
Which is, I guess, a trick that he learned when the Houston...
Like, to tire them out?
Like, get them in trouble, and
What if it were... Like, right, if they get caught... That works. If they don't get caught and they just like use
stay up
her
all night,
services,
party then, all night. Yeah.
Wow. He's got a competitive edge.
Yeah. Well, someone, I guess the Houston Oilers did it to him.
Oh my God. What goes on?
It didn't impact his game at all.
No,
he
he's like,
got
this
a sack.
Is just a regular Wednesday night.
So he's like, I'll use this tactic on the opposing teams because they can't handle what I can handle.
Yeah.
Yeah. As we said, the 80s were a wild time.
Yeah. Wow.
Eventually, he did fail a drug test about 88, you know, halfway after 8 years of playing.
Okay,
he finally failed the drug test.
For 8 years,
and he was suspended.
Eventually.
Yeah. Remained clean the rest of his playing days, supposedly, but not for the rest of his days, just his days playing.
Okay. There's a time and a place.
There's a time and place, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not on the field, maybe off the field. Probably neither, but he retired from the NFL in the 90s, still kept up his antics off the field, getting into trouble. He was arrested at one point for buying cocaine, and he played it off. He said he thought it was a bag of flour.
Yeah, this tiny bag of flour. That's like when Lindsay...
You know me. I don't touch the stuff anymore.
Lindsay Lohan got arrested, and there was cocaine in her pants pocket, and she said, "These aren't my pants."
It's your DNA's not on it. Yeah, what evidence?
These aren't my pants, and this is just a little bag of flour in my pocket.
He cleaned up his act again. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
So there's like a lot going on here, a lot of ups and downs. And then he officially made our enemy foe list because he got arrested for hiring an underage prostitute and getting a DUI.
Yeah, that's, I would say, not good. Nobody.
So it was all, you know, harmless to the rest of us. Mm-hmm. It was harmful to him. But when he crossed that line, that's when we...
You're on our list,
add him to
buddy.
The list.
Yeah. It's not fun in games when they're underage prostitutes in the conversation.
He's been laying low ever since. I think he's cleaned up his act.
All right.
He got into golf recently, I've heard.
Golf will settle anyone down.
Still alive.
Yeah. I Googled him. He's on his third wife currently. And some years ago, she got arrested for domestic assault.
Mm.
So maybe he's the calm one in this new relationship. Not new. They've been married since 2007. So.
Yeah, now he's focused on staying away from her.
Yeah. No, they're still married.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he needs his thrills somewhere. I feel like let this be a cautionary tale rather than one to be looked up to.
Yeah, it worked for him, but I don't think anyone else can have a successful career doing what he did, especially in today's day and age.
Definitely. So. Yeah.
But it's a pretty good segue into our next segment that we've wanted to touch on for a while now. There are a few recovering players in the NFL that have really interesting stories.
Definitely. And less of like a LOL party story than LT. Now I'm on a nickname basis with him. I didn't even know who he was 15 minutes ago. But yeah, there's a few players that are players and coach having big seasons this year and are crediting their sobriety and like the change in their lifestyle for what is giving them such success.
I'm happy they didn't take off after LT and
definitely. Yeah, yikes. yeah, we're going to get into a few of them and their stories. The first one up, my favorite because he's stunningly gorgeous, is Darren Waller. He is...
a tight end for the Giants.
Yeah, tight end for the Giants. I knew that.
We're just the Giants players. Look at us.
Yeah, he's...
look at them.
Look at them. He... also played in the league during the start of his addiction. He said he failed so many drug tests. He didn't have any relationships with the guys on his team. He was just like going through the motions. He wasn't doing well when he first started out. Then in June of 2017, he was suspended for a year from the league, I think for failing like yet another drug test. In August, so a couple
Nobody's
months.
Giving him their urine.
No, especially if he's not. He said, "I wasn't friends with any of the guys on my team. What are you going to give your non-friend your urine?" Don't think so. August of 2017, so a couple months after the year-long suspension, he used drugs that were laced with fentanyl and nearly died from an overdose, which was the awakening that he credits with...
Yeah, that's really scary.
Yeah, he said he... I think it happened like in a car in a parking lot and that he like came very close to death. He immediately checked into rehab and has been clean since. He said during his... 1 year suspension, he was a checkout cashier at a farmer's market.
Right.
And so when like the fame and the money and the accolades get to his head, he's like, literally 3 years ago, I was like ringing up people's produce. So it keeps him
grounded. It can happen. Yeah.
So he was, I think, drafted by the Ravens, then played for the Raiders. Now he's a Giant. But while he was playing on the Raiders in Vegas, he met Kelsey Plum, star of the WNBA champion team, the Las Vegas Aces.
Yeah, they beat the Liberty. I was at the game, actually.
Were you?
I was.
Oh.
Yeah, New York Liberty. They lost to the Aces. And I was looking down.
For Darren?
Yeah, I had really bad seats.
Oh, there are all these really sweet pictures and videos of them embracing after
at that game,
after she won. They actually met on a podcast together.
Oh.
when they were both athletes, like crushing the Las Vegas scene.
Yeah.
They met on the podcast. They got married. They went on their honeymoon. And the day after their honeymoon, he found out he got traded to New York.
That's like, what do you do?
Yeah. You're like, this has
great
been great
being married for a day. Gotta
and it's
move.
Not like she can just, like a lot of these football wives get up and move with their
She has
husbands.
A successful career. She can't just travel to...
Unless she gets traded.
Yes, let's go.
Yeah, instead of being a Vegas sports power team.
Come over to Liberty. We'll root for you.
Yeah, be a New York sports power team. Yeah, so we love them. And his career has taken off. Is he injured this season?
Yeah, he hurt his hamstring a few weeks ago. So hopefully we'll see him back out there soon.
Yeah, because before that he was having a stellar season.
Yeah.
He's fun to watch, and so is his wife. We're rooting for both of them. Another player who's having a massive season, Max Crosby. Max spelled M-A-X-X, and he...
Double trouble.
Double X. He says that they changed... He was originally just going to be regular Max, M-A-X, but when he was born, he was almost 12 pounds.
Oh, my God.
That's a big baby.
Max.
They were like, Max we're adding an X. He's Max.
He's the maximum size of a baby child.
He plays... Oh, he's... Also on the Raiders. So
he's on the Raiders.
Waller was on the Raiders. Yeah, I don't think they overlapped, actually. I don't know. I'll check. He is a defensive player on the Raiders. I know this because the first episode of Hard Knocks a couple weeks ago, like half of the episode was about how terrified everybody is of Max.
He is really intimidating.
Yeah.
A lot of tattoos.
Super tatted.
He's huge. Serious.
Yes. Focused.
Yeah.
He also found his sobriety after already being in the NFL. He started drinking in high school, like a lot of kids do. His college football coach said he knew he had a problem and was like, you're not going to drink while you're playing on my team. Like, if I find out that you're drinking game six, I don't care if you're the best player on the team, like you're not playing game seven. So he would stop drinking during the season and then party in the off season.
Well, that's a good coach at least.
Yeah. And then he got drafted by the Raiders in 2019. He said he was like pretty focused during his rookie season, but then during the off season, he said that was the first time in his life he had actual money and he had nowhere to go, no responsibility. Like even in college when you're not playing,
you don't have any money.
You don't have any money and you have class to go to. Yeah. Like you still have responsibilities. Off season, he said he was on a 3-month spiral that things got bad. And so then in 2020, he realized he needed to change his ways. He checked himself into rehab and he has been sober ever since. He has a giant...
I was going to say, he has a huge tattoo like right on his neck.
On his neck, which freaks me out. And it's the...
It's like a triangle.
AA symbol, I think. Yeah, so it's a symbol for his sobriety. He had the face mask, like the face mask of the helmet that they all wear. His was also in the shape of a triangle to like remind him of his priorities and why he's here and what he's doing it for. But it wasn't regulation helmet. So
safe enough guard. Yeah,
so they had to replace it.
The tattoo should be enough. Hopefully. Yeah, but he can't see it, I guess. But other people,
if you like sort of squint the way you can like sort of see your nose
in the mirror.
Yeah. So he's crushing it out there on the field, in his personal life. Him and his wife had a baby in 2022. They had a daughter, and he just seems to be in a great place on and off the field. So we love that.
Keep crushing it, double Max.
Yeah, I would not want to be on the other side of his tackle, but that's one of the many reasons I don't play
professional football.
And then our third person we wanted to highlight, not a player, a coach, also somebody that got a lot of airtime on Hard Knocks, it is the Miami Dolphins coach, Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, he has an epic story, like start to finish.
And he's a character. He is
he
quirky.
Is just himself.
Yeah, through and through. On Hard Knocks, they were like, he doesn't look like your average football coach, and he doesn't sound like one either.
No.
He looks like a kid that they like let run onto the field to like practice with them for a day.
Yeah. Well, he used to be a ball boy for the Broncos, and people are saying it's like his character arc of like finally coming full circle to a coach.
Wait, can I tell you actually a great story before we get into his sobriety journey about how he came to be a ball boy on the Broncos.
Let's hear it.
So he said growing up, his mom worked long hours. I think she was a single mom. Don't quote me on that. But that he used Broncos training camp as like his daycare. Like he would take the bus. He knew where to get off to go. You know, he's like a little kid, not a child, but like, you know, a kid. Yeah. And would go and watch them practice all day and would try to get autographs. And so he one day was out at Broncos training camp and got some player that I've never heard of autograph at the start of the day. Then they're practicing. And he was like, what would be better than one autograph from this guy, two autographs from this guy, but they're not going to, he's not going to sign my thing again because he'll recognize me. So he took off his Charlotte Hornets hat that he was wearing, like tossed it to the side, ran up to the player, got another autograph, went back to look around and the hat was gone. So he went up to a guy, like some staff member at the facility or worked for the Broncos. And was like, hey, did you see a Charlotte Hornets hat that was here? It's my favorite hat. And like, I can't find it. And the guy went in to look at the lost and found and said it wasn't there.
Oh, it got stolen?
I guess it got stolen. So then when he came back a couple days later, the guy was like, oh man, like, here's your hat.
Oh.
And he gave him a Charlotte Hornets hat with the price tag still on it. So this guy.
Oh, he just bought him a hat?
Went and bought him a hat. And then Mike McDaniel said he introduced his mom to this guy. Like, this guy got me a hat. Like, isn't that nice? And then he married Mike McDaniel's mom. That guy became his stepdad. Isn't that cute?
That's awesome.
Yeah. And he worked for the Broncos. So then that was Mike McDaniel. Okay.
So that's how he got into football,
being a ball boy because his stepdad worked for the team.
And he's a little matchmaker.
Yeah. Isn't that cute?
Just like, I don't know if you saw this trending a few weeks ago about how he met his wife, which was also, I guess, through networking.
Yeah.
Apparently when he was a running back coach prior to when he was an NFL coach, a player for his team, a running back, was dancing with this girl at a club and he swooped in and started dancing with her instead.
I love that.
And 4 years later, they're married.
Yeah. The guy said that he said, if you want to be playing for this team next year, stop dancing with her.
Al Michaels, I think it was, told more of an aggressive story that McDaniel said was not accurate. Who knows what's true? But
he did.
She is his wife.
She is his wife. And he did say the skeleton of that story is accurate. So I like it. He's a lady stealer, which you would not expect based on his general
demeanor. And that's what he
said.
Yeah. I guess he has good dance moves.
Yeah. He looks like he could do like the worm.
I was going to say the worm. Yeah. He can definitely do the worm.
For sure. So he has been a coach in and out of the NFL. And he really dealt with his alcoholism while he was on the coaching staff of the Falcons. He would show up to practice smelling like booze. And one of his coaches found empty bottles of his. He was also on the staff of the Texans. He got fired, not directly for drinking, but he was late multiple times from being out late partying.
Mm, that's tough. When you're coaching a team.
And you're
hungover.
Like, life is a mess. Yeah. He said he knew sort of like what he was after and that he was chasing his coaching heroes and coming up short. And he needed to
clean it up.
And he did.
And now he's on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
He's
America's
a star.
Sweetheart. Yeah. So I feel like these three guys are all thriving. The NFL is probably a tough environment to be sober. It's a lot of partying, celebrations like champagne showers, a lot of bad behavior, and people celebrated for that.
And a lot of money when you have a lot of money.
Yes. Good on these guys for
really impressive.
Yeah.
And it shows.
Definitely. We're rooting for you guys.
Speaking of substances, did we ever find out what that mysterious liquid was that Aaron Rodgers spilled on the field a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I feel like this can be our little mini bye week's final goss.
Final goss.
Yes, so a few weeks back, Aaron Rodgers is out flaunting his mended Achilles.
He'll be back any day.
Skipping around the field. And had this box and some weird looking bottle fell out of it and crashed and liquid spilled all over the field.
Yeah, it looked like a bong.
It definitely looked like a bong.
He's just sitting on the field just watching, smoking a bong.
I think he would love that.
Yeah.
And because he's such a character and he's healing so quickly And he believes in all these sort of like eccentric therapies.
Yeah.
People were like, it's got to be something. It's got to be something weird. What do we think it is? And then he went on a talk show and said it was just a bottle of Maestro Dobel tequila, which when you Google it, you're like, yeah, that's literally exactly that's the bottle. That's,
but it's still weird that he has a bottle on the sidelines. Like, is he definitely just sipping on it during the game? Like, what? Is that fine for the Jets organization?
He said that it was a gift from an ESPN Deportes sideline reporter. Okay. And that every time he sees him, he gives him a bottle. Okay. Like that specific bottle. That I don't feel like is clarifying. That's also still kind of odd. Why is this reporter giving you a bottle of tequila every time he sees you? It's also not
what's
that
going on there?
Expensive of a bottle. I sort of thought like reporter giving a star player like a bottle of tequila, it would be like something fancy. Yeah. It's like $160. I mean, it's nicer than the tequila.
That's pretty good. I'll take it.
But it's not like, you know, topest of the shelves, is it?
Okay. Spend some more money, Aaron.
Yeah, he must just like that it looks like a bomb. Yeah.
Multi-purpose.
Yeah, right. Maybe when you're done, you can then utilize it. All right. Well, tune in next week when we'll be all caught up, rested up, and giving you the latest NFL gossip. No more of this throwback. We'll be present. Fingers on the pulse.
The hot new gossip.
Yes. And until then,
stay juicy.